Hello, we are on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, also known as Bridging Wisdom. We have tonight with us a guest. His name is Paul Del Roberts. And Paul has got a new book out, as well as many endeavors in the works. Paul, I'm going to there's so much to say about you. Everyone, if you would like to go to bbsradio.com's main page and just read a little bit about Paul, as well as click on the links, because there is a lot to offer. Paul, welcome to Bridging Wisdom.
I know. Long time no talk there, Kathy. I'm glad to be on.
My little friend. I call you the mystery man.
I know you do.
Yeah. Well, you are pretty mysterious.
You're so funny. Paul, yeah, I've been doing a lot lately. I came back from Costa Rica, and but over at Costa Rica, I love that place because it has so many legends. And one of the things that I investigated was the Seven Ahorcas, which was the seven hanging goats, and the El Cadejos, which is the phantom black dog. And they just have one legend after another. And I went over to San Lucas Island, which Ghost Hunters International actually investigated. And it was kind of funny because I was going through there with a team of people, tourists, and I broke away and I did some my own little provoking. And you're talking about San Lucas Prison, which happens to be was one of the most notorious prisons for Central America and South America. They had murders there. They had torture there. They had rapes. I mean, it was just a place of dread.
Hey, Paul,
and so I did a little provoking over there.
Is there a link you can give everyone right quick so that they can follow along with what you're telling?
What's that, Kathy?
Your link, so that they can follow along with your pictures or photos with this?
Oh, yeah. All they have to do is type in Costa Rica, Paul Del Roberts on Google, and they can actually pull up the story.
There you go. Okay. Tell us more about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I went over to San Lucas Prison, right? And this is where Ghost Hunters International went to. And they did their own little investigation. I went with a little group of tourists, but I broke away from them and I did a little bit of provoking. And when I did some provoking, I actually got punched in the ear.
Well, Paul, what do you mean by provoking?
Provoking, not in a really harsh, harsh way, but like, okay, I don't believe in you. Show me your stuff, stuff like that. You know, a little bit of provoking like that.
Okay.
And just to see if I can get any kind of response. And because I wasn't really getting any kind of responses. And then all of a sudden, I just got punched right in the ear, and my ears started ringing.
Wow.
And I haven't been punched like that since high school.
Goodness gracious. So did you tell a little bit about your history, about what you do with the huntings, and how did you get into ghost hunting?
Oh, how did I get into paranormal investigating?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I actually, when I was a little boy, I lived on a street called Effie Street in Fresno, and all kinds of things were happening to me. I was actually pushed into a furnace. I was really being picked on by the entities in this house. And one time I was looking out the bedroom window, and a woman's voice was saying, "Dale," calling me by my middle name. But saying, "Dale, come here. Dale, come here." And all the experiences that I had there, I couldn't get it out of my head. So I started reading about the paranormal as a young boy, and I started reading Brad Steiger books and everything like that. And as I went on in life, I got into investigations with CID, Criminal Investigation Division. I got into military intelligence. So that kind of helped me along later on in life as a paranormal investigator. And at some point in time, I was dating a girl who was a paranormal investigator for HPI, Haunted Paranormal Investigations. And she goes, Paul, and I also, too, was a journalist. So she says, Paul, why don't you come with me and write a story about the investigation of the National Hotel in Jackson? And I said, yeah, sure. You know, why not? So I went to the National Hotel, and that's where I met Shannon McCabe. And Shannon McCabe was the owner of HPI, and I introduced myself, and I told her I was a journalist. At the time, I was a comic book journalist, so I was doing reviews of comic books and stuff like that, interviewing comic book creators and stuff like that. So she looked me up on Google, and she found a ton of stuff that I've written. So she just grabbed me by the arm and says, hey, you know, she goes, I love the press. So she showed me how they did their ghost hunting and stuff like that. And the very first article that I wrote for them was published in 2 British magazines and published on 14 ghost websites. So she liked it so much, she sent me an email, and she CC'd her whole group. And she says, Paul is now going to be a paranormal investigator. I'm going to train him. And he's going to be our ghost writer, and he's part of the core group. And I was kind of taken aback from this. And so I emailed Shannon back, and I said, Shannon, I'm running a comic book business. I love the paranormal, and I wouldn't mind going on some outings with you, but I don't have time to be a full-time paranormal investigator. And Shannon told me, she goes, well, Paul, she goes, well, paranormal investigating is really hot right now. And you seem like you know a lot about it. So she says, you ought to just try it out for a couple months. And so I contacted my vice president, Richard Messier.
How long ago was this?
Huh?
How long ago was this?
Oh, God, that was like 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so I contacted my my vice president, Richard Messier, over at Jasmine Online. I said, hey, can you run shop for a couple months? And he's been running shop for 6 years now.
Oh,
that's how I got into paranormal investigating. And what's so kind of funny is they were only investigating ghosts, but when I got on board, I already knew how, you know, about UFOs, and I knew about various monsters like Chupacabra, Bigfoot, and stuff like that. And I just went ahead and opened the door for all investigations of everything paranormal. Bigfoot, UFOs, you name it. And so we even got a case coming up real soon, which deals with the Minnehoon. Have you ever heard of the Minnehoon?
No. Tell me about it. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, it's a very odd case. Okay. Like, if you met the Occupants, it's a brother and sister, and very normal business people. But somehow, the brother got involved with some Native American Indians. He wanted to learn more about their culture and everything else. And he claimed that he actually witnessed something that was illegal that these Native American Indians were doing. So, and somehow these Native American Indians placed a curse on him. And that curse entailed portal.
That is wild.
Yeah, so somehow the curse entails a portal that goes into our home in which the Minnehoon, these Hawaiian like elves, are menacing the family. And it sounds way out there. But the only thing is, though, Kathy, I have to check it out.
That is crazy, Wild. Paul, when you go on one of these investigations, I understand that you have many, many cases, and that you find people, I've noticed with you, that if you can't cover it, you find someone that will or can, and you work with a team, right?
Right, right. I actually have 43 investigators on my team. Yeah, so, but it's like Mission Impossible, where you look at their bio, you look at their photograph, and see if they're fit for the investigation.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll call upon certain members of the team to do an investigation.
Okay, how do you coincide each with the feeling, or do you just, you know, like case studies? type, you know, just go down the list, or do you resonate each with the feel of the call that you're that they're getting ready to go on?
Well, each investigator is talented in something. I mean, you could have technicians, videographers, psychics, sensitive, mediums. You have Native American cleansers. I have psychic cleansers. I have even a voodoo cleanser. So I have numerous people. Even myself, I do a Catholic blessing. So you have numerous people who are talented in some type of work, and they may be called upon a case because I need their expertise. I even have a psychiatrist, a parapsychiatrist. So it's like a whatever might be needed for the case, I'll look at it, analyze it, you know, and say, okay, I need this person, I need this person, and then we'll do the case.
Paul, I'm going to stop you right there. I want to go back to where we are. But please give out your information on your new and upcoming book and your film.
Okay. Well, they can find my upcoming book, which will be published in Halloween time, and it will be on my website, www.jasmaonline.com, and on my other website, which is www.hpiparanormal.net.
Or they could just Google search or Yahoo search or whatever search engine, Paul Del Roberts.
There you go.
And you are named after your father, correct?
So, my father, his name is actually Paul Marceau Roberts. Okay. And so not to confuse me, they used to call me Dale.
Okay. Now, I wanted to get a little bit underway. Shannon is a wonderful in her work as well. You two have been working together since the very beginning, or did you know her before?
Here's the funny thing is what is that they said that everybody's connected by 7 degrees or 6 degrees or something like that?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard that saying?
I've heard not quite like that, but
okay, maybe I'm saying it wrong, but anyway, I was connected to Shannon without even realizing it. But when I met Shannon, I started working with Shannon with the paranormal investigating. She doesn't even do that anymore. She now handles the entertainment part of it, like the vampire ball.
Could you repeat that? You broke up just a little bit.
Okay. Shannon McCabe, the owner of HPI, she handles the entertainment.
You're breaking up.
I am. Okay, can you hear me now?
Doug, BBS radio engineer, could you please sound check? You're breaking up just, it's coming out very broken and very, it sounds like you're in a muffle.
Okay, can you hear me now, Kathy?
I hear you now. That's good.
You can hear me?
And I can.
Okay,
we have like a little bit of a wave break there.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Could you start at the beginning with Shannon?
Yeah, Shannon McCabe, she handles the entertainment side of HPI. So she handles the vampire ball and all the just entertainment-type functions of HPI, and I handle all the paranormal investigating.
That's interesting. I've been trying to get with Shannon for a good while. So,
Yeah,
she's a great lady. Paul, let's go back to the prison. I remember seeing some of your photographs of the prison, and you could literally see someone hanging out the... You remember that one? Real tall? It looked someone hanging out the window?
Yeah. That was a very odd case. San Lucas Prison, I was only... I had limited time to be there. So, because I was there as a tourist, so I couldn't just hang out there or spend the whole night there. I wish I could have.
Yeah.
Kathy, I had a really, really good case just a couple weeks ago. Oh, and before I go on, I have a investigator who is listening, so I should say a shout-out.
Oh,
her name is Heaven Aldean. And guess what? You might want to interview her. She wrote a book called The Demon Side.
Now, how do you spell her name?
Heaven, H-E-A-V-E-N, like the heaven in the sky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Heaven Eldeen, E-L-D-E-E-N. And she's the author of The Demon Side, which is kind of based on her life and her own dealings with demons. So, she might be somebody you might want to interview.
I would love to. You know, well-rounded information here. Tell me about the case that you just went on a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, Galt. Okay. Anyway, I did this case in Galt, and something like 15 investigators showed up, and for a while there, we weren't getting anything except a lot of orb pictures and stuff like that. And I actually, on a photograph, captured a full-body apparition. It's of a cowboy, and he's wearing a white cowboy hat, and you can see right through his legs. And you can see right through his legs. And you can actually see that at the www.hpiparanormal.net website. It's right on the front page.
I'm just going to go look right now. You go, keep going.
Okay, so anyway, I got a full-body apparition. And later on in the night, it's just like all chaos just started. I mean, I was getting one EVP after another. So I would say something, and then we got this mumbling. I said, okay, now the entity is actually talking to us. I said, okay, identify yourself. What is your name? And he says, Michael. I said, if you're here, or somebody said, if you're here, touch me on the shoulder. He goes, no, you touch me on the shoulder.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah. So, he was talking back to us in real time. And those 12 witnesses, three recorders on. And as we continue, we go, okay, where we were getting the EVPs was by the tree in front of the house, and there was a man that was murdered there. And so we said, how did you die? Did you die by knife? Did you die by gunshot? And he goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then I said, what are you doing right now? And he says, I am so cold. And we got this on three recorders with 12 witnesses. And everybody was just excited. They couldn't believe how we were getting these quick and dirty EVPs just like that. So that was just really, really incredible. And we're going to go back over there because the place is just extremely haunted. Some of the history of it, back in the 1800s, the settlers got into a skirmish with the Native American Indians. They got into a little skirmish, gunfight. And some died on the property. There's a tree out in the back where a witch was hung.
Oh, my gosh.
And four people died in the house. And in front of the house where the tree is, a man was murdered.
Paul, that tree is really wild looking.
Uh-huh.
On the HPIParanormal.net, Paul Del Roberts Cowboy. I mean, enlarge that picture and look at that tree. How it's hooked like, you know, a walking cane. I mean, there's so many things that are in this actual photograph. And then right beside the two lights, one's red and one's white, you can actually see the cowboy's hat, his face.
Oh, you can see it? Because that picture was, when it got published, it looks kind of dark, but yeah.
And the gate's open.
What's
you
that?
Know, the gate. There's a gate beside him, and it's like, you know, it's hung open. Well, I just want to say something about when my grandfather passed away. I was in the 11th grade, I believe, and I had never had any endeavors of where someone, you know, came to me or I had ever seen anything or heard, you know what I mean? And my grandfather came to me exactly where he used to go behind the smokehouse and sip a little, you know, well, a little. And I went to hug him. He goes, don't touch me. Don't touch me. He says, I can't see you. I can't come back to visit if you touch me. And I was like, you know, it swung me awake, and I've had him come around like two or three times, but he told me I couldn't touch him. He said then Michael explained to me that even Jesus said when he rose from the dead that they could not touch him. So that's very interesting, you know, difference there. I mean, do you feel that there are like that? To me, spirits are parts of people that we have spoken out or shared throughout our lifetime. I just wrote a piece called Nora had passed away, that is a screenplay writer. And she passed away like 4 days ago. I wrote about the dust, you know, people's energy and people's blessings and kindness and love are little specks of like glitter dust. And that resonates together, connecting throughout the person's life, and makes feather dust, which when a person passes away, they go up into the in-between place and they get their feathers connected through all the kindness and love that they have sent out throughout their lifetime, as well as received. And it's really neat story that's come about. And a lot of it has to do with your, you know, your investigations. You are a very big inspiration to me, as well as many people. And I just want to say that this photograph is blowing my mind. I'm telling you, you can literally see the cowboy.
I'm glad you can see it, because when she first published it, it was kind of dark, and I was having a hard time seeing it. But on the original photograph, you can really, really see it. It was like, wow. You know, so, and that's the first time after 600 something investigations I've ever captured a full body apparition on photo.
This is
now amazing. I've seen maybe six full body apparitions with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. But that's the first time I ever caught one by photo.
This is something else. You can look right where you have cowboy question mark. If you look, active listening audience, you look right under the WB, you can see the hat, the cowboy hat, and the face thing. Mm-hmm. And but yet it's see through the legs.
Oh yeah,
Paul. Do you use any? Yeah. Tell us about some of the equipment that you use.
We use night vision goggles. We use digital recorders. We use and it depends on what we're looking for. Like if we're out there doing Bigfoot, we have high powered binoculars. We're doing UFOs. We got telescopes.
Seen Bigfoot? Seen a Bigfoot?
No, I haven't ever seen a Bigfoot. But the only thing is, though, is when I was over in Mount Shasta, you can communicate with Bigfoot by hitting wood on wood.
No.
So let's say you hit a tree three times with wood, and you get a response somewhere out in the woods, you know, where you hear three knocks by wood, that possibly could be Bigfoot communicating with you. And one time... while I was in Mount Shasta. No, it was Covelo. I'm sorry, I take that back.
Okay.
I was in Covelo. We're doing a Bigfoot hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit wood on wood three times against a tree, and I heard three rocks fall into the creek, and there was no people out there. There was three rocks that went right into the creek, and possibly that could have been Bigfoot. Because there was nobody out there. I was out there by myself.
How far away from the creek were you? Could it have vibrated over the... Good gosh, this is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there was just no way... I mean, it was just like someone purposely tossed three rocks into the creek, making those huge splashing sounds. And no animal could have done that. There was no people in the woods. The thicket was just too thick. There's no way there could have been anybody in the woods. The only thing that could have done that is maybe a bear, but a bear is not intelligent to throw three rocks into the creek.
That is amazing. Mm. I want to ask you, I'm having a little feedback, Doug, if you don't mind checking that. BBS engineer? We're having
a little feedback. Say that, Kathy.
I was telling the engineer we're having some feedback here. I would like for you to cover a little bit about the UFOs.
We've done UFO investigations at Lawrence Livermore Labs, Mount Shasta,
okay,
Monterey Bay.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Area 51. Skinwalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Area 51 was very unique because when we were going into the back gate,
mm-hmm.
When I stopped my vehicle and I was looking through my binoculars, I was looking at a man in camouflage fatigues, and he was looking at me with his binoculars, and strapped on his shoulder was a sniper rifle.
No way.
So they take things very seriously over there, and they have a ton of video cameras. They have sound enhancers. They can hear you walking. They can hear you talking. And as I was driving towards the back gate with my investigators, there was this Jeep that was on the sideline following us, and you could see his dust trail. And two of the investigators in the car, they make claim that they saw a silver disc rise from the mountaintop and rise back below. And I didn't see the disc, but they claim that they saw a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were staying there, we stopped at the Alien, which is very, very popular. And the people were so nice, they let us camp there for free in their parking lot. And then later in the evening, they actually took us to three haunted locations. So we actually did a ghost hunt over there at three haunted locations at a little village that seemed like it was deserted for some reason. And we did soil samples. And with the soil samples, this one group is called the Winter Group.
Uh-huh.
They have access to a laboratory in Los Alamitos. And at the laboratory, they said it was determined that the soil was eradicated. So
what is that?
That means like farmers would do something like that. Let's say you have tomato
plants. Bear Island is home to the ruins
of a
naval shipyard.
Hold on. But okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So let's say farmers would eradicate their crops to it's sort of like placing a little bit of like radiation there, so that way the insects won't harm the crop. So, but the only thing is, you're talking about the desert, so there's no reason for the soil to be eradicated. So that was kind of interesting. So why did they eradicate the desert soil near the gates at Area 51?
That's interesting, Paul.
Yeah.
Do you normally take soil samples, or is that something unusual, or do you do that in just specific cases, or?
Well, soil samples? Oh, well, that was just because it was a UFO case. With UFO cases, you know, just in case, let's say, UFOs have been seen where liquid metal falls from the UFO, I was looking for mercury, because usually they talked about mercury as being part of the propulsion system of a UFO. So I was looking for like any kind of mercury that might be in the soil, but we didn't find any mercury.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I'm trying to visualize as you talk. That's why I went back to your site, because you tell the most amazing stories here. I feel like I'm right there with you, you know?
Oh.
Tell me a little bit about what your book's about, your new book.
Oh, okay. All it is, Kathy, is what I do is I compile all my investigations.
Mm-hmm.
All my recent investigations go into the book.
Okay.
So if you want to see what I've been doing this year, mm-hmm. so when the book comes out Halloween, it'll have all the latest and most recent and most interesting cases in the book.
Okay. That's good to know. And also, you're coming with a film. Is that correct?
Well, we just did my ghost story on the Sally Garza case.
Okay.
So they flew me down to Hollywood, and this is my 7th documentary.
Yeah.
So they flew me down to L.A., and they did the interviews with Sally Garza's daughter, Sabrina, Castilla, and then myself. And then they did some B-roll filming at the Sally Garza house. So that was kind of interesting. With that case, Sabrina was being tormented by an entity. And this entity would, like, when she would walk down the hallway, she would hear whispering in her ear. She would be laying in her bed, and the piggy banks would move on their own. She would hear crashing sounds coming from her bedroom, and then when she went to investigate, there was nothing that crashed there. And so she couldn't take it anymore, so she told her mother, Sally Garza, to contact me. Mm-hmm. Sally Garza contacted me, and I brought a team over there. So we started getting orb pictures. And one of the orb pictures looks like a bird. And they have bird pets there. And two of their birds died. So that was kind of interesting to have an orb that looks like a bird.
That's something else.
And then we had a blue orb, which shows signs of contentment or happiness. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the entity is very benevolent, and I think it's probably Sabrina's grandfather, because they urge right at the fireplace, and I think he's just trying to get her attention. So I don't think there was no cleansing that was required. Shadow figures have been seen in the garage. Shadow figures have been seen in the bathroom.
Tell us a little bit about shadow figures. Michael saw shadow figures here when he was visiting.
Well, the shadow figures, like in Sally Garza's house, I believe it were actually the shadow figure of the grandfather.
Okay.
But let's say for shadow people, we've had cases of shadow people, and shadow people are type of interdimensional type entities, and they don't walk, but it's almost like they're on a railroad train track, and they move along. They move along without shuffling their feet, and they look downwards, and there's two type of shadow people that seem like they're the leaders of the other shadow people, and that's the one with the hoodie that wears the hoodie.
I saw
and
that.
There's one that wears the brim hat.
What is this about the? It's like a faceless person with a hood. I saw that on your webpage.
Yeah, it's I believe they're like interdimensional type beings. And they go through the portal, same like any ghost would, and they...
Let's stop right there and explain to the people that are listening live or archived what a portal is if they do not understand what that is.
Okay.
Okay.
With a portal, it's like almost like a tunnel where various entities can go through. And let's say you might... let's say you go to the antique store and you buy a grandfather's clock. Well, that grandfather's clock, the actual person who owned it, let's say it was this old lady, she's very much attached to it, and she's deceased. Her energy's all around that grandfather clock. So you take the grandfather clock and you bring it home. You now open this portal, this tunnel, from where she was haunting at, from the house that she was haunting at, and she now can go through the portal and enter your home.
Ooh.
And haunt your home through the portal.
Wow.
You open up like this tunnel.
Okay, so it takes a certain situation like that to open a portal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a spirit or a haunting. Or tell me the difference between a ghost. And, you know, why would they be, you know, I want to say they, but really it's just spirit, right? It's just
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Explain to us what a ghost is, or I've never seen one.
Maybe I've seen you never seen one, Kathy?
Well, I've seen my father when he first passed away. It was like a light that came through, and I knew it was my dad, but I have, and I've seen, you know, like shadows running past, but I've never really actually seen a, you know, like a human form.
Oh, I see. Well, like with a ghost, okay, all living things, even plants, a lizard, a dog, mm-hmm. they have an aura about them. This aura is pure energy. And as for a human being, they're walking around and you have this aura, this energy, living energy that's connected to your body.
Okay.
And with Kirlian photography, you actually see the aura on all living things. You could take a leaf and you see the aura around a leaf.
That's how I started to see auras, was through the leaves at night. You know, you can see their energy as they dance past each other. And also when you can, you know, like the sparkles, that when somebody has static electricity, you know, and it pops. And, well, you kind of got to see through and over something, you know, like into and through it. And I can see the auras. But you're saying that these auras stay as the soul goes on Earth, or?
Let's say you're deceased and you die. At the instance of death, the aura leaves your body. This aura, this pure energy, contains all the knowledge of who you used to be, what you saw, what you experienced, what you smelled.
That's what I meant by the dust, the feather dust.
Yeah, and this aura floats around the atmosphere. And let's say this aura, when it manifests, people see it and they go, oh my God, I saw a ghost. Mm-hmm. Well, this energy, this aura, this soul, if it's not ready to go into the light, let's say it's a grandmother and she goes, I don't want to go into the light because my granddaughter's going to have a baby. She sees the baby and says, I want to be an angel to this baby. I want to stick around. I don't want to go into the light. Mm-hmm. Well, if she doesn't want to go into the light, it seems like from what I've been told by various psychics and stuff like that, an energy grid goes around the house, and they can't, it's like the ghost police or angels are saying, okay, if you're not ready to go into the light, you're stuck here in this house. The only way they can move from that house is if a portal opens and it connects her to another house. So let's say you take something from that house, and she's attached to the diary that you took from that house, and you went to another house. You now open a portal from point A to point B, where she can now go to point B. And another way, with some ghosts, they don't want to go into the light because they feel like they're going to be judged. They're very religious, and they've sinned, and they know they sinned, and they don't want to go into the light because they feel like they're going to be punished. So they're not ready to go into the light yet.
Well, how do they get to choose that? I mean, you know... Let me ask you, I'm going to stop right there because that's a little bit off balance with what I think and feel. But it was like the early 80s, and I was at an antique dealership. I was buying a bed for my son that he was a baby at the time, getting ready to go into a regular bed. Paul, this was a rope bed, antique 18th century rope bed. Had not really awakened to what I knew when I was a child, you know, and saw as a child. Because then I saw the figure that was a child, you know, 4 or 5 years old. But this was actually, you know, I was in my late 20s. I told the antique dealer, I said, there's somebody that died in this bed. And I said, I can't buy that bed. And I'd already paid for it. But he was going, oh, that's no, you know, that doesn't mean anything. And blah, blah, blah. But ever since that bed, I could literally feel, I didn't put it, you know, I put it up for my son for a little while, but he never really slept in it. And over the period of years, it kind of broke in half. And, you know, I still have pieces of it. Because I feel that my daughter told me today, is going to affect you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
But you have residual energy, too. And another thing, Kathy, let's say like a case over in Chicago, Illinois in 1974, this couple moved into this house and they would see a man manifest, and he would walk over to the couch And a woman would manifest sitting on the couch, and he would start striking her. He would start hitting her. Mm-hmm. And they saw this about maybe 6 or 7 times. They saw it so many times they were able to recognize the faces. They went to a block party in Chicago, mm-hmm. and the host says, "Hey, take a look at this photo album. We host all these block parties. And you can look at some of the
past
years."
Say that again. You broke all the way up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you broke again. So would you tell us when you saw that, when the people could literally see them, you know, that they came? Because he did it so many times.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can. We have okay. such energy going on. You know,
I know.
It pop the frequencies here.
I know. In Chicago, Illinois, in 1974, this couple moved into this house.
Mm-hmm.
And they would see a man manifest and walk over to the couch, and a woman would manifest on the couch, sitting on the couch, and he would start striking her on her face. And this happened about 6 or 7 times that this couple saw this manifestation, this man and this woman manifest in the house. And so they thought their house was haunted. So they went to a block party, and the host of the block party says, "We've been doing this for many years. Look at our photo album, and you can see our block parties from years past." And as we were looking at the pictures, they saw the picture of the man and the woman that haunt their house. And the woman goes, "Oh, my God, this is the man and the woman that haunt my house." And the host of the party looks at the picture and says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yeah, sure, they lived in your house. They had domestic disputes. The police were there all the time. They got a divorce. The man now lives out of state, and the woman lives 5 blocks down from here. But they're very much alive. How can they be ghosts?" Can you hear me, Kathy?
Yeah. They're still alive, and their energy stayed.
I'm sorry, Kathy, say that again.
They were still alive, and their energy...
Yeah, they were still alive. They were living ghosts. Yeah, it was the residual energy, the negative energy in that house.
This is mind-blowing. I mean, it's so amazing.
They were actually being haunted by living ghosts. People who were still alive, but they produced so much negative energy. They blasted out so much negative energy into the atmosphere that when the man was hitting that woman, it replays over and over and over again. Man.
That is, I'm astonished. I mean, this is so informative. You are so informative. Let's give out your website, or just let's say Google search Paul Dale Roberts.
My website is www.hpiparanormal.net.
That is Paul. What is your favorite and most interesting case you've ever done?
That was probably, and I think I talked about it on the radio. That was my Citrus Heights case where, I brought 15 scouts with me. I put 5 in one room, 5 in another room, 5 in another room. Mm-hmm. 10 of them were falling asleep because they were so bored to death. And 5 in this other room, they were hearing a little girl giggling. And as I walked in there, I said, "Oh my God, you can hear this little girl giggling." And they said, "Yeah, we're recording it." And I said, "She's no more than 3 feet in front of me." But I couldn't see her. She was sitting on the corner of the bed. And I put my head down, and I go, "Hello." And she goes, "Hello," right back at me. And that blew me away. We had a seance in there. And during the seance, the walls sounded like they were ripping apart. There was a series of knocks. And all 15 scouts were running out the door. And I said, "Get back in here." And I said, "This is a breakthrough. Get back in here, you know. We can't run away from this." you know, and so I got them all back in there. We had 5 walkie-talkies on the floor. They're all on the same channel, and one of the walkie-talkies turns on, and it was a man's voice, and he goes, "Get out." And all 15 people were running out the door. And then the occupant looks at me, and she goes, "Paul, I have to live here, so maybe we should stop." I said, "Okay, I respect that." So I told everybody to leave. The occupant allowed me to spend the night in the bedroom. She had the video camera running. And as I was sleeping, you can hear a man's voice whispering. You can hear a woman say, "Paul, Paul, Paul." You can hear a tiny knock on the headboard. And you can hear a child moaning at the front of the bed. But I slept through the whole thing.
Good gosh. You know, Paul, I have heard, you know, a voice beyond maybe 4 times in my lifetime. And one was like my father. You know, I could hear, literally hear him. But I, other than that, and then one time it was this loud bellowing voice said, "Do not fall into the ways of man." I'm not kidding. And it was right above my, our bedroom was right below my son's bedroom. And he had just seen and felt every time he played a certain album, he liked to, you know, eat salt, you know, while he studied. And the salt shaker would throw across the room. And that was right after that I heard, "Do not fall into the ways of man." And then one other time, I heard, to me it was God. It was like, okay. You know, it's been like a stronghold on me. And I have been, you know, so devoted to my ways and means, which are, you know, Christian. I really highly respect every positive, you know, religion or whatever people tend to call, you know, their higher self or their higher power. And I want to thank for all that you do, and you can, you know, from A to Z, even flying a snake, you know, and you are very interesting. You're a great friend, and you're a joy to know. I would like to offer you any time to come back and have a conversation, and I would love to interview Heaven. And Shannon, I cannot wait to get a hold of Shannon.
I know. You got to get a hold of Shannon, but you know something? Also to Shannon, but you might want to talk to Heaven, too, because she would be a great person to really have on your show.
Okay. Well, there was one. I would love to. There was.
I'll hook you up on Facebook with her.
Excuse me? You'll hook me up on Facebook with her?
Yeah, I'll hook you up on Facebook with her.
Okay. We did do. Michael was with us. He's not with us right now. He's working, you know, publicly, you know, in different places. So he's very busy, but we interviewed one of your two of it was a sister, and it was someone that's really, it's a hard name to say, not really a hard name, but it's a unique name. She goes with you as a part of the team. So I've interviewed two of your team members. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, can you give me their names? You don't know their names?
It's a hard name to pronounce. It's not really hard, but she's young, She comes to your house a lot. She's a friend. She's a good friend of yours. It's a unique name.
Chantel Apakadaka?
Yes, she was a. She is an.
You interviewed her?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And Shannon could be with us because she was, you know, from one scene to another, you know, going from one designated to another filming. And so people, and your friend, actually Shannon is the one that, you know, suggested her. So, well, we're going to wrap it up. Up until the hour, we got another show coming on. This is, I want to say for the time stamp, it's July the 3rd, 2012. Paul was here July the 11th, 2011. So right at a year's time. You've done a lot of work, Paul, within this particular year, catching me up and catching the active listening audience up. I would like to ask you to open an energy ball with the positive prayers and things you would like to put in it. And I like to send off a positive energy ball out into the atmosphere as we close. Like, I would like to put in hope and peace, love, healing, unconditional love, understanding, acceptance, and non-judgmental. And just plain out and outright understanding self before we go to the other. And an open mind. What would you like to put in?
Oh, Kathy, I was listening to your words, and you were breaking up on some of the stuff, but it sounded really good. It was like three words I was giving, every third word. But anyway, yeah, whatever your dreams are, you know, pursue your dreams, because whatever you dream will come true.
That's great, Paul. And with that, we'll kick that in, Paul, and expel it. And happy birthday, America. And thank you, President Obama, and all the officials and all the officers that keep us so safe. And keep in mind the four that have passed away during putting out the fires in Colorado that live right here within, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Belmont, the families there that the plane crashed. Paul, thank you so much. I can't wait to, you know, meet you someday in person. I know that you've invited me several times to just come visit. I just might take you up on that.
Oh, Kathy, I would love that. So thank you so much for having me on the show. And you're always, always, always welcome to come over here and visit. And I'll take you on our investigations. You would just absolutely love it.
Love it. You're not far from BBS Radio in Paradise, California.
What's that?
Paradise, California is where BBS Radio is located. You're not far from
Paradise, California.
Yeah, so I can't wait to meet my family there, Doug and Don.
Wow.
Is.
Well, when you do, make sure you let me know, because I'll definitely, because Paradise is just right up the road.
We're going to definitely get together, all of us. Paul, with that, I'm going to say goodnight, everyone. It's been a wonderful hour. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Hill. Good night, Paul. Good night, BBS.
Good night, Kathy.
Take care.